Rosie, thank you so much for joining me on the program. Can you tell us a little bit about the region and the languages that the centre is working to document and preserve?
Yeah, so we cover an area approximately 300,000 square kilometres in size.
Wow.
And so it's quite big. and we are by no means the biggest region. In the Pilbara, for example, they have, I think it's 31 languages that Wongamai and the Pilbara work on. So they have an even more difficult situation than we do. But we work in the Midwest, Murchison and Gascoyne regions, and those seven languages are spread fairly evenly throughout that area. To give you a rough idea, a very rough because it's not exact at all, of where exactly this region is, it's from around Geraldton, which is 400 k's north of Perth. And runs up to roughly Carnarvon and then roughly over to Meekatharra inland, about 500 or so kilometres, down to approximately Mount Magnet and sort of loops back around south a bit, back up to Geraldton.
Before we get into the impacts of COVID-19, can you explain some of the challenges for preserving endangered languages pre-COVID?
It's a very difficult situation. You know, outside of sort of this weird pandemic that, you know, we're all going through, it's a difficult situation to work on any language. You know, there are so many factors that you have to consider in, you know, when you're doing language work. I don't even really know where to start. You know, some of the difficulties include, you know, speakers who have passed away or speakers who can no longer do language work because, you know, a lot of the speakers are quite old and, you know, working into your 80s and 90s is difficult for anyone, let alone someone who's trying to recall something, you know, that they learned when they were a child and then for many years were actively forbidden from speaking because of government policies. And that's probably one of the biggest and most fundamental challenges, I think, for languages across the country is that for many years, in fact, for the majority of Australian history since Europeans arrived, languages have not been encouraged. In fact, they've been actively discouraged from being spoken. And people who are still alive today and who aren't that old will tell you stories of getting corporal punishment for speaking their language. You know, if they were in a mission and they spoke language to some of their siblings, you know, they'd get hit with a cane. And, you know, that kind of conditioning doesn't just disappear when someone says, oh, you can speak the language now. And people were told to believe that it was the devil's tongue, that it was terrible and they should never use it. And, you know, we could talk about all the funding challenges and all the practical challenges of getting to places like Meekatharra and all that kind of thing. But at the core of the difficulty is making sure that people feel like they can contribute their language and that their language has value. And, you know, that's not something that, you know, a language centre can do. That's only something that the community can do. And, you know, the community lead all of this process and they have done such hard work to get to a point where elders feel comfortable sharing that language.
And to add even more difficulty to continuing to preserve these languages, COVID-19 has obviously had an impact. Can you tell us what kind of impact COVID-19 has had for you guys?
So COVID-19 is, you know, aside from the very obvious situation of not wanting to get infected by this terrible disease, you know, the flow-on effects and how it impacts how we live our everyday lives is really where you find the biggest impacts, so sort of cultural arts kind of programs, that kind of thing. The impact for us is every day, you know, so we're not able to go and see some of those people because we obviously don't want to make them sick and, you know, we don't want to put them in any risk. And then that can affect what kind of what we can do. So if you can't go and see an elder or you can't, you know, speak to someone who speaks language, they perhaps live in a place where they don't have great internet coverage or they, you know, don't have ready access to a phone, your communication with them, which is now limited to phone and internet, is not possible. And where previously you could have, you know, hopped in a car and gone down and seen them for a week, now you can't do that. And, you know, a lot of people who still speak language are quite old and, you know, people pass away and they, you know, often this kind of language work is really urgent in the best of times, let alone right now where, you know, there's this terrible disease doing the rounds and people are worrying about, you know, like exposing those people to it. And so they become even more, you know, vulnerable and isolated and sort of so many layers of challenge that this presents in wanting to make sure we protect people, but also wanting to, you know, try and continue the work, the hard work that they're doing.
And like you said, it really is the flow-on effects. Rosie, thank you so much for joining me on the program.
Thank you.